can never find in Matthew, Larry, because I was taught that Mark is the first gospel, so I always go there first. And then I have to remember that it's not written that by that, but so that's an idea over there.
Behind you.
When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up onto the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, which is an open of prayer, but these beatitudes, this is for God's people. It isn't for the crowd, because they took the time to maintain it. It's for God's people. So he sits and he teaches the disciples. And he starts off, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We've looked at the Bible. So I'm going to preach for these things.
You can take it because you're more than 2 years.
Yeah, but I'm just getting on. And that's got to, if I just keep it there, are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
I've got my other glasses on it, it's still going to stay in the map, that's what I can, hopefully. We've looked at blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are spiritually bankrupt. And it's a little unpleasant maybe for us to think about that. And one of the commentators that I've read recently, I remember I was thankful to David Fortune and other people, but an older commentator called Tusker says this about blessed are the poor in spirit. They are those in their hearts, they recognise that they are poor in the sense that they have no good thing within them. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take that off from there because I'm never going to see. Is that alright? I could stand behind there a bit. Are you okay?
You sure?
Okay, that's right. Let me start again. Finally. I gave my life to you. Yeah, I think I might have a Christian advisor, I don't know how that works. Tusker says it's a blessing of the poor in spirit. They recognise in their hearts that they are poor in the sense that they can do no good thing without divine assistance. Without divine assistance. And they have no power in themselves to help them do what God requires. They recognise in their hearts that they are poor in the sense that they can do no good thing without divine assistance and that they have no power in themselves to help them do what God requires. I think that's probably a very good and helpful understanding. Because I said all these beatitudes roll into each other and build up. So that these first three help us understand the one that follows. And we looked at blessed are those that mourn, which we said, if you like, is the emotional counterpart of blessed are the poor in spirit, where we talked about last time about grief and sadness over failures and sins. You go, oh, you know, this is going to get better, but you know, you can't bypass it. Sometimes you have to, if you've got a cut, you don't be just sticking a plaster over it. You know, it needs to be cleaned and we need to make sure that... So we need to make sure that our Christian lives are built properly from the beginning. That's another the trouble. People want to follow Jesus, but only if there's no coffee involved. They want to follow Jesus if it's nice and cuddly and it feels okay. But actually, the truth is sometimes it is we've got to face the hard realities. And I said to you online, I spent time... Thank you, Paul. Is it clear?
Yep.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? Are you up to that? Now I need to put the glasses on, so that works. Oh, Oh, we'll get to this clear. Whatever. Thanks you very much, Paul. Oh, yeah, don't worry. I'll put that there. That's good. We're all right now. I spent such a lot of time when I was crying over sin, over failures, and over other people's failures. And that's kind of what God does. And if we want revival, we can't bypass this stuff. This is part of the deal as well. And the revivals that I've seen and I've read about as well have this deep beginning that is difficult sometimes. However, so I make no apology for that whatsoever. And actually, you know, I feel so down, I'm not sure I can cope with this. Actually, stay with it, because God has no intention of harming us. And I said last time, godly sorrow is a good thing. And God has no intention of wanting to harm us in any way, but God to grow and to be a full expression of what it is to be human with His Spirit within us. To reflect the glory of Jesus in their lives. So God's people are not just sorrowful for themselves, but the scriptures are very clear, and I said that last week, but they can also be sorrowful for the sins and failures all around us, the evil that's so rampant in the world. You almost don't know what to believe anymore. You know, the world is and the evil one twists things around so much. I feel so sad when I see God's people, particularly across the pond, that are being led astray by untruths and not focusing on the one who is altered. And it can make me angry and sad and all those emotions that go on with grief. And it does for us all, not just that, but more than that, it's easy to say, oh, I've made a bit rotten, but you see, can't do that. It's easy for us. No, it starts with me. It's my function. So, you see, the evil that we see, why we feel angry about it, because we actually see the misery and the suffering that it causes. But this, blessed are the meek, which we're about to come on to in a moment, blessed are the meek, is an echo, if you like, of David. In Psalm 37:11, it is, but the meek will inherit the earth. And a bit more, it says, you have to read that Psalm 37:11, but the meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace. And enjoy great peace. So here we are, I'm going to ask you now, what is meekness? What's meekness? It's a strange word, isn't it? What do we understand by it? This is a rhetorical question. Okay, that's just hard to see. This is a rhetorical question. What is meekness? Any idea? Yes, Tony?
It's the idea of a powerful horse, like a stallion or so, but under control. He decides not to bolt out. Yes.
Thank you. And who's got the mic now? Right, Tony, I'm going to ask you to repeat that if you would then with it.
Alright, thank you. 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. I was saying that it's the image of a stallion that decides not to bolt out. It has the power to do so, but it remains at a canter also.
Being weak, but it's not. It's a feeling of not having to be aggressive, but to be controlled. But very much what Tony said about the stallion that can bolt but will, but decides an officer.
That's a very interesting point. Thank you. There's a lot of other views which I've come on to. It's a big subject in scripture. Very, very big subject in scripture. And I can't hope to cover it today. I'm just going to look at two areas of it, a minute or two. Anybody else have a comment before I ask Phil to, we've got a video of it that we're going to look at now. Yes, Phil. Strength with death wings.
Being strong, but willing to
Yes. I do like these. You've made it a whole new sense of my understanding of the word as well today. I'll go down one road and I like that. Strength with death wings. Yeah. You could certainly argue that that's the position of Jesus. You know, God's whole universe in his hand. Okay. Let's stop for a minute, and then we're going to carry on, and with part two of what used to be the sermon picture. And I'm just going to look at two areas very quickly this morning. And the first part of it is, as we know, what we can see is, we have a part of that as I go along as well. We need to look at weakness in regard to our attitude towards God, first of all. We need to look at it towards our attitude towards God and then expect our attitude towards other people. This old theologian, I've never saw his first name, I've only ever known him as Tusker, so it sounds a bit like something from a movie or an old LP. That was something else. That's all tough, isn't it? I think. So it's an old line. He says this: the meek are those who humble themselves before God because they acknowledge their utter dependence upon Him. Do you like that? The meek are those who humble themselves before God because they acknowledge their utter dependence on Him. Think about Matthew 11:29. It's talking about Jesus being meek. Jesus is speaking to the weary, to the tired, to those who just felt totally pushed down. And he says this: take my yoke upon you. This is from the Amplified Bible. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, or from me. But I am gentle, in brackets meek, and humble, in brackets lowly, in heart, and you will find rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly, in heart, and you will find rest. That's the difference of the Jesus. Jesus' attitude and his lifestyle. Here's this all-powerful Son of God who was Graham Kennedy suggests, flung the stars in the space, who sustains everything that exists and has ever existed. The all-powerful Son of God. But his life on planet Earth is depicted as one of weakness. And the word weakness literally means of sweetness, of gentleness, and of kindness. Of weakness is sweet, gentle, and kindly. Those are words that he puts to Jesus, aren't they? And this is one of the elements that Jesus uses, if you like, one of the grounds that Jesus invites the poor in spirit, those who mourn, invite sorrow in men and women to come to him in weakness, to simply with a gentle, humble, meek spirit. That's acts when he wants us to come to him like, not demanding my rights. Why haven't you built me a parking space, God? Why haven't you answered my prayers, God? Why haven't you done this good? But actually, in, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Yes, actually we can do this with God, but actually he wants us to come to the company of the Spirit. And God blesses that humbleness. God bless means approve, God. God approves of it and God blesses it. A humility, a spirit, a meek spirit. Now there's another scholar I'm going to mention, some of you might have heard of if you're old enough. He's probably one of the most famous preachers certainly in this area and actually in his generation, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He's a preacher at the Sister Chapel for many, many years. A highly thought of man of God of a different generation. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, the person who is truly meek is one that who is so amazed that God and others can think of them as well as they do and treat them as well as they do. You like that? The person who is truly meek is one who is amazed that God and others can think of them as well as they do. If you really knew me, you can think like that. If you really knew me, you wouldn't really like me. But God really knows you. You see that? He treats us well. He treats us gently and humbly. A person so amazed that God and others can think of them and treat them as well as they do. See, God in Jesus displayed such sweetness and gentleness and kindness to all of us. That's what he does. And we receive that meekness, that spirit of Christ and the mind of Christ at conversion. When we bow the knee and say, I'm poor in spirit, I'm mournful for my sinful state, and I'm born again, God's spirit quickens my spirit, Christ's spirit comes to dwell in. The Holy Spirit causes me to come alive. I receive Christ's meekness is part of the deal when I recognise my true spiritual state. And so if Jesus shows that amount of meekness, sweetness, kindness and gentleness towards us, if we receive that, we can do no other than to display it to other people. It has to be part of the deal to actually display that as well. Not just to receive, in other words, it's an outward reflection of an inward state. Meekness is an outward reflection of what's gone on in my heart. Truly to be born again, there's no pride, there's no arrogance, I'm not bad. Because it probably hasn't taken place at that point. You know, we don't see the thing we're allowed. That's why I find these cheap conversions, you know, that people are just asking us to come in. We actually have to deal with the other stuff to go with as well. It's quite important. And Jesus is very gentle with us as well. He doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated. He works with us. Little by little by little. Which is lovely as well. But it's an outward expression of what's taking place in our heart. And it's brought about by that positive spirit in mourning. Can you get all those together now? Without those, we won't have this. And that understanding that causes us to be cynical at times to other people. But there's no place in our walk with God for pride. I'm alive. I've got it right. You know, I can be awfully disgusted at certain. Sorry about that. If you hear that one dying, then you're right there. There's no place place of God. Meekness is not shocked by the behaviour of others, but it isn't weak either, as we said earlier. It's a strong thing, meekness, actually. It's not shocked by the behaviour of others. That's not to say that you don't have to calm things down sometimes. I found that sometimes quite difficult, sometimes with the fasting, and you sometimes have to calm things down. And that is not what we expect. So it's easy when to do, sometimes to discipline and correct people. As a parent, it's not easy to sometimes to discipline and to do. So we still have to do it, and it's coming. As you're Because I don't get it on my notes, so I'm going to come back if you like, but if weakness has to do with my attitude to God, it also has to do with my attitude that other people have said. Not Martin or Jones, secondly, I really want to just to think about for a few minutes. Weakness is essentially a true view of oneself, expressing itself in attitude and conduct to others. Weakness is essentially a true view of oneself, expressing itself in attitude and conduct and respect of others. In other words, it's an outward reflection of what's going on internally. You see, if we received from God, if we received love, forgiveness, kindness, mercy, all that stuff in our own grace, if we receive it freely from the meek, loving, strongest, then freely in Christ and in Christ's strength, we can give it away. It doesn't dwell in me naturally, but it dwells in me supernaturally by the power of God. And if I have it, I can give it away. And I need to be able to give it away. I find myself at times giving away grace and mercy to people that I would least want to, least expect to. I mean, you sometimes say, how did I do that? Well, because God enabled me to do it. God enabled me to say a kind, supportive word to somebody that don't get to be abusive in our time. God does that in us. You see, what we receive is just to be kept. We're not just a little holy blessing. Not just how I get blessed up with some stones and a bit of this and a bit of that. What we have freely you've received is to freely give. That belonging to Jesus will cause us to walk on the earth in meekness. Recognising our true state. Moses was probably the most, when it says he, apart from Christ, he was the humblest man on the earth. The scripture tells us, the meekest person, he wasn't weak, he was a strong man, but he recognised, I can't do this, my true state is that I messed up, I didn't get it right, but God loves to use people like that. And so he was described as the meekest person on the planet. And you see, God resists the proud, but he blesses the humble, blesses the meek. And there's a promise for those that walk like that. They will inherit the earth. Mm. And my friend Andrew Kane, who was a former pastor in his life, I mentioned him last week, so I'm in depth for much of my thinking about these beatitudes, says that the promise is that the meek will inherit the earth. He says, I suspect it's because they can be trusted. When we have a true understanding of ourselves, God can trust us without a thing. Which is really, really, really important. Let's all come here today. Let's all be meek. We have all the power of heaven, like a stallion suddenly, if you like. Mm-hmm. We have that power within us, but it's to be used with the spirit of humility, of sweetness, of gentleness, self-control. So let's walk today in meekness before God and before others. May our witness in this place and wherever you are be one of gentleness, of sweetness, of kindness. Because God will bless. Such a church. Let's do that. Yet there are times when we have to take things down. They are what they are. But by and large, being there, it comes from a big attitude. Let's pray. Then Joanna is going to lead us in prayer after. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Forgive us where we've been proud, and we thank God that we're not like other people, and we're better, but Lord, we're not. We acknowledge our weakness before you, our insufficiency before you. We acknowledge that all that we are can only ever be with you. But Lord, we want to make this life count. So I pray that that spirit of weakness will flow from us. Lord, we want to see your kingdom come and move here on earth.